This video is brought to you by a product I use weekly, Harry's.
I'm ready to kick butt, butting, kicking. Let's go.
Well, watch again. They got all the right beats, Greg. All the right beats. Oh, God, I love this show so much.
It goes all the way up the ladder. We got to get to the top of this.
We got to get to the top of this, the bottom of this.
We got to go all around.
All around, up and down.
Need someone to be like, I trusted you when you did
that line. I'm so happy that we're exploring the backstory of the new California Republic. This is like
everything I've ever wanted as a Fallout fan.
This is truly intriguing mystery. Yeah. I am hooked. I have no idea where it's going, and I think every storyline is so gripping, and it's like watching a messed up Stepford Wives. That idyllic utopia of a perfect society. You're like, I don't know. I have no idea what's going on. Like, are they, like, what is going on? Like, clearly there's some, it feels like the old days of Lost, you know, where you're like, I feel like I learned so much, but I learned nothing.
No, that's exactly, and not having any idea of like, are they good? Are they bad? Yeah. Am I good? Am I bad?
Is this person brainwashed? Yeah. Or are they not brainwashed?
Yeah. No, it's that, and that's the beauty of Fallout, is it's constantly, it's throwing everything on its head all the time and keeping you guessing in the most miraculous and wonderful of ways. And I think the really, really exciting thing is that because of the fact that like Vault-Tec and it's a story that literally spans hundreds of years. And I think that's just the coolest thing in the world, that you are seeing these things. And each Fallout game takes place at like a different point in time, which also adds additional elements where like it's kind of neat for me as like a fan of the games to like position and be like, oh, okay, this is where we're at in the overarching, like,
oh, that's cool,
you know, trying to like connect all those dots. But I'm so impressed, particularly with how they've done such a good job at, like, for somebody that's like a huge fan of the games, they've been able to like feed like the big like macro wants that I wanted for this series. And also have like not failed in the slightest at this extremely focused, personalized drama. And it's fun, it's dark, it's weird, it's scary, it's just all these bonkers things combined into this like perfect smorgasbord of like weird Fallout magic. And it feels real, which I have no idea how they're pulling that off. Like, honest, like, for such a fantastical, weird, ridiculous world, I'm like so impressed that I am like fully bought in. And I love this freaking show.
Well, it kind of feels like The Road when they're traveling together. What's his name? Magnus?
Yeah, Maximus.
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 Maximus and Lucy traveling together and watching their kinship form. The note that I was like popping up in my head is like, you know, you get to know these characters individually, and one of the strengths of the show is that whenever they have these characters actually interact with each other, even though they spend so much time apart from each other, especially in the beginning, everyone has chemistry and everyone reads off of each other very well. Everyone bounces off each other really well. And I love that you have a true ensemble of a show like that, where part of the excitement is, oh, we're actually going to really see, you know, Maximus and Lucy interact with one another. And you see how this relationship is going to be completely different than all the other relationships that she's formed. And anytime you think it's going to go down a cliche path, it actually doesn't go down a cliche path. Mm. And I appreciate that they drive away from that. And it's so much about watching the affect of it, because like, I absolutely adored that scene. On the train,
on the railroad, bridge.
The bridge. When they saw them in the distance, and they couldn't make out the strangers, and then you're like, maybe Lucy's idyllic way, might be able to be a positive influence on the world, and you really don't know which way it's going, and they're playing the music, and then in a heartbeat, it goes wrong.
Yeah.
thrilled to be partnering with a brand I've been using for nearly 2 years now, and that's Harry's Razors. I'm generally more drawn to anything that goes against the norm, and Harry's does just that in the grooming world. They saw the high prices in the industry and decided to blaze their own trail with quality and affordability. I keep a beard, but whenever you see these cheeks and the neck clean, then that's the work of Harry's right there. Keeps my wife happy, and Harry's makes it effortless. They're precision blades that cut smoothly with less drag, making every shave satisfying. And yes, it's versatile for other areas too, you know what I mean? So as a Harry's devotee, I can vouch for their value. You can experience unparalleled comfort and quality in your grooming routine where exceptional craftsmanship meets affordability, making a smart choice for a top-notch shave without breaking the bank. Their kits and value packs for shaving are unbeatable, but Harry's is not just about shaving. Again, they offer top quality, thoughtfully designed grooming products, including shampoo, conditioner, and amazing body wash without the premium price. Quality, affordability, that's a thesis of this. Now these I actually pulled right from my own bathroom. I regularly use their 5-blade razor with a nice weighted handle and their foaming shave gel. Man, this dab, oh, it is a game changer. I just like the feel of it. Now I have to commit to keeping this in my hand the whole time because I'm not going to go to the bathroom in the middle of shooting this. The handles, they feel perfectly balanced, and the razor's sleek design is a classy addition to my bathroom. And the quality of the shave, unparalleled. Gotta reiterate, key part of my weekly grooming ritual because their entire range of products fits seamlessly into my routine. Definitely no reshoots here. Their German engineer blades are durable, and refill plans are economical. Rarely use the word economical, but I'm using it now. Plus, their commitment to high customer satisfaction and no-risk trial makes Harry's a no-brainer. This gel really does feel good. Let me say once more, choosing Harry's means quality and affordability. By grabbing your $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/rejects, you're not only getting a great deal, but you're also supporting this channel. That's harrys.com/rejects for your $3 trial set. Stay sharp and embrace the extraordinary with Harry's. Till next time, Reject Nation. Till next time.
You know, there's a moment where I like literally thought they were going to like compliment each other's outfits.
Yeah.
Like I literally was like, oh, it's going to be like nice hat.
I thought it was just going to go fine and it didn't.
Yeah.
And I thought, and the way how you watch like Lucy just so devastated is so wonderful. So I think the way that they're illustrating our characters is beautifully done. Yeah.
But at the same time, Lucy barged into the creepiest, sketchiest, shouldn't go in there room, and then whimsically ended up in a place that is arguably the safest, best possible option of where she could have landed.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of gets to the heart of it, of like, it's both of these characters. I'm particularly excited for Maximus because I think there's been a Maximus feels like he can't be himself, or he has to be this caricature of himself. And I feel like Lucy is going to be the character that can help him be actually Maximus. And there's like that kind of like big moment when she like asked for his name. And I was like, please say your actual name. Like, please say your actual name. And then when he said Titus, I was like, damn it.
Yeah. Well, I think they're philosophical. The way they believe is they both follow an order, right?
Yeah.
And the difference in the way they follow is Lucy genuinely believes in everything she was taught. And like that golden rule shit, like she firmly believes in that stance as an individual, as a person.
Yeah.
And Maximus like needs something to believe in, but he has no individuality. And you're watching these characters who've led their whole lives designed by like this construct of a belief system.
Yeah.
And now they have to make their own choices in life. Yeah. It's really interesting to pair those two up with each other and then have like the ghoul who's been like a wild card amongst all this.
To take that to like a larger, like macro philosophical level, the whole world they have inherited has been shaped because of decisions made by people who were put in that exact situation.
Sure.
Yeah. Like ultimately the Chinese and the Americans who were indoctrinated could not come to terms. Mm. And that led to this. And I think that's like, and Maximus like kind of hit that to like, yeah, at the end of the day, it's like a bunch of people trying to save the world, ultimately making the same mistake over and over and over again. And I thought it was like, wow, what a profound realization for somebody that is actively participating in that same exact process over and over and over again. And it's like, it's so, and again, Ron Perlman, where are you? Like the phrase
and they better end the series with it, or I will actually be upset, and I will write a letter to Todd Howard. But like war never changes. That is like such a fundamental truth of this, like humanity never changes. The good, the bad, and the ugly of it, right? And I think that Lucy represents the good of it, and the ghoul represents the ugly of it. And, you know, there's a whole lot of bad, but there's in between it, there's a whole lot of other stuff too. And you take it and you compound it. And ultimately, at the end of the day, like, it is what you make it. And it's all very fragile. And I think that's something that I've always loved about the Fallout universe, is that it exposes a lot of truths, you know, that it's a very, you take away the pleasantries, you take away that idyllic 1950s and all the, and you peel it back. And at the end of the day, like, if you give in to what we are, not everybody's great, but yeah. Also in the absence of that, you also see the best of people. And I think that's something that I, at least in my Fallout playthroughs, and again, Greg, you have no context for what I'm about to say, but like, I look at like the Minutemen in like Fallout 4, for instance, and like, oh, we got to go save another settlement. You know, there's a settlement in need. Like, there is something to be said about, in this helpless world, going around aimlessly and saving a bunch of NPCs over and over and over and over again. And it's redundant and it feels pointless. And yet at the end of the day, like, it's this like radical act of goodness in this world of absolute carnage and awful. And I think, you know, these dystopian type series and worlds tend to get this notion of like, we're painting a picture of like what the future is going to be like, when in reality, I think they're actually painting a picture of what our reality currently is.
Sure.
And their radical acts of rebelling against that and showing that we can come back from it. And I think that's just like such a powerful, interesting piece of art. And maybe that's not what Fallout started as, but it certainly is what it's become. And there is like this, and I'm sorry for going off on a tangent here, Greg. When Fallout 76 came out, which is the MMO, mm-hmm. there was like a whole lot of questions about like, oh, what's going to happen when you give like players nukes, you know, like, are they just going to like bomb the crap out of each other? And what ended up happening is the nicest group of players in the history of online multiplayer games. I remember I like showed up, I started playing, I was like struggle bussing. And somebody comes up to me and I'm like, oh, I'm about to get like absolutely wrecked by this guy in power armor. And he goes and he emotes and he waves at me and he throws a little like goodie bag me. And I check it and there's like 100 stim packs. There's like 100 Radaways and there's all these guns and these armors and there's a little bobblehead. And I was just like, oh my God, like in this post-apocalyptic world, these people are showing so much kindness. And you know, I think maybe it's something to be said about Fallout fans, and I think maybe that's how they view the Wasteland. But it's why I love this franchise. It's why I love this series, and I think they captured the magic of that. And yeah. Anyway, rant over.
That was a beautiful rant, beautiful monologue. And this is also another thing we didn't think about is that this is also a fantastic advertisement for people to play the game, because I'm like, damn, I gotta play this game. So.
Dude, it's worth it. Question for the audience. What Fallout game should Greg start with? My suggestion would be Fallout 3. That's where I started. It might be hard to play these days because it's old now. Came out in 2008. Or Fallout 4. Fallout 4 is probably a good entry point. But I'd love to hear your opinions. But do us a favor, Reject Nation. Don't forget to comment below with your favorite part of the episode and what game you think Greg should play first. Be sure to hit that notification bell. We're going to watch the next episode right now. Are you down?
Sure.
One more? All right. We're going to do another episode right meow. We'll see you there. Peace.
Tyler Haig. Tyler, listen up. I am ready for your character arc to begin because we always talk about how chill you are, and that's cool. I like that you're chill. I like that you're a friendly guy. I like that you are a protective spirit, but a spirit not prone to lashing out. But you know what? I feel like
what's the arc? Then?
You could causing some chaos into your own life.
Oh, it's gonna get worse. Okay.
All right. First of all, start taking a lot of caffeine. All right. You want to up your energy level. Because think of how many more shows on how many more screens you could take in with your ADD brain,
still
you know, stimulated. No, in fact, imagine just how many things you could see outside in this life. You would be running through the streets, peering through every window, into every doorway, seeing who you could meet and how many people you could talk to individually, except also all together in the same room at once.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you know, you could be out there hoofing it, growing calves the size of tree trunks, and being like a Forrest Gump of the people. Because, again, you're such a kind heart. Like, it just emanates from you, and it you know, stretches across time. It's been a minute since we've seen each other face to webcam face. But,
sure.
But, dude, I feel like you would be out there in the streets just making people's lives better. You could be a nomad, Tyler. Be like a Lord of the Rings, you know, one of those big jolly dudes who's just like always on the move, but he always comes through town once in a while. And when he does, he's got fire. You're a wizard, Harry. So we love you, Tyler. No matter which of the choose your own adventures of life you decide to ultimately embrace, we love you and are compelled by you as a character. So keep on keeping on, or don't, or change it up. Either way, we'll be tuned in next season. Love you, buddy.